Hey guys, and welcome back to Willis Outdoor Adventures Podcast. I'm Tim, and today I have Caleb with me.
How's it going?
And I also have Dad with me.
Yeah, this is Dale Willis, and I'm honored to be kind of a guest host today.
Yeah, so today we're going to be talking about a trip that Caleb and I took to Colorado to hike Mount Columbia in the winter. And Dad's just going to kind of help facilitate and ask questions and keep the conversation rolling.
So first, to set the stage, when was this trip?
It was March 2021, right?
Yeah, so yeah. You actually had reached out to me.
Yeah, so like basically, you know, you hike a bunch over the summer or whatever, and you knock out a bunch of mountains, and you kind of get the itch back in winter, you know? And that's kind of what I had. So I hit Tim up. I was like, hey, would you be willing to do a hike in the winter? And as all Tim responses go, he goes, yeah, of course.
Yeah. So you chose Mount Columbia. How did you guys choose that mountain?
Yeah, well, let's back up for a second. So when I got Caleb's text, he just texted me in February, and he was like, hey, you want to go to Colorado and hike a 14er? And I was like, well, yeah, sure. And I was thinking he's going to say, like, June or something. I said, when? And he was like, I don't know, like, now? I hadn't really got into winter hiking, so I wasn't too sure. But, you know, I responded and said, sure. So then did I choose Columbia?
Well, no, we didn't really know until we got out there.
So, oh, okay.
Like, we had a couple different ideas.
Yeah, so I had, like, hiked most of that range already. I only had two or three mountains left in the, how do you say it, Sasquatch range, and Columbia was one of them. So I think we kind of did some research on the way out there, mm-hmm. and we're like, what mountain can you do in the snow without having to worry about much avalanche stuff? Because, you know, we're newbies when it comes to winter hiking.
So you guys have never done any winter mountain hiking, correct?
I had not at all.
Not at all, no.
So you didn't really know what you're doing.
No, gosh, no.
Okay, let me just start from the get-go by saying this. When you hear the words Mount Columbia, what comes to your mind and memory now? What kind of feelings does that evoke in you right now?
Oh, man, just... my legs are tired. Just
so, yeah, I've really been looking forward to doing this podcast for a long time. In fact, it's like 10% of the reason that I started this podcast was just so we could talk about this. Like, you know, we already did a podcast about the 50-mile thing that us three did. And Dad, you did drop out a little bit early. But honestly, the pain and suffering that went into Mount Columbia was exponentially more than running 50 miles. So yeah, it just feels kind of a little bit like legendary, and like, yeah, I don't know, just like, wow, I don't want to do that again, but I kind of do.
I've heard you both, I think at least Tim, I've heard you say that was by far the most grueling thing you've ever done. Would that be accurate?
Oh, 100%. We can get into that, but Caleb?
Yeah, it was pretty difficult.
Yeah, so we can just get into how, you know, so we, let's see, we probably drove through the night on a
Thursday
night.
Yeah.
And got there Friday, so we probably got to Denver Friday, if I remember right.
Actually, is that right?
I'm just making this up.
No, I think we might have pulled in on a Friday.
Okay, so we did a two-day weekend.
Yep. I think that's right, because we headed out right after we hiked Columbia, right?
I actually do think we drove out.
Okay.
I think we drove out Thursday night and kind of took our time.
That's right.
Then we got to Denver on Friday and played disc golf.
That's right.
All day. And then we just drove to the trailhead. So we ended up just kind of messing around in Denver for a few hours and then drove to the trailhead near Buena Vista. And this would have been about, you know, it was getting dark on us. So I don't know what time that would be, 6:30 mm-hmm. or whatever. And they had actually just got hit with some more snow, so we couldn't get all the way to the trailhead. We had to park, what, two miles?
Well, yeah, we were, like, pulling up to the trailhead and, like, pull up to this mountain road, and it's covered in snow.
And we were in your Civic?
Yeah, we were in a Hyundai Elantra.
Oh, Elantra.
And we had saw a 4Runner, like, at the bottom of the mountain. And Tim's like, you just got to try it, man. So I kind of try and get some speed up, and we go, like, 50 yards into this. We just stop. So I just reverse back down the hill and put it in park.
Oh, man. Yeah, we made it like 40 feet. Yeah.
But we ended up just camping at the, like, Not, we weren't even at the trailhead. We were just at the road to get to the trailhead.
Yeah, so we added a little extra to our hike. And then also...
So you slept in your car.
Yeah, we slept in the car the night before.
There's snow on the ground. How much snow would you say at this point?
There wasn't that much down low. Okay. Maybe a foot or 15 inches maybe. Yeah, so not a whole lot down low where we parked the car. But then we actually did have snowshoes. So my grandpa had a pair of snowshoes that he bought at an auction or a garage sale or something. And so... I was actually out there whenever Caleb sent me the text about maybe hiking a mountain in the snow. So I asked him about it. He's like, hey, I'm not going to use them. You can have them. So he gave me a pair of snowshoes. That was nice. I don't know what brand they are or anything, but they're like aluminum frame. And then Beck had a pair of snowshoes that honestly might have been kids' snowshoes. They were a little bit smaller. But I asked if we could borrow them, and that's what Caleb wore. So we did wear snowshoes on this trip. And so, yeah, we woke up in the morning, and we actually got, not a late start, but I think we started around 5:30.
Yeah.
And so this was, so far, we've made a couple big, big blunders. Number one was the highest altitude we'd been in the past, 8 months or whatever, was where we slept in the car, which was at 8,000 feet.
Yep.
So we slept at 8,000 feet, and that's where we started hiking, and that's the highest we had been that year, So we weren't very well acclimated. Number two was I thought to myself, hey, there's a lot of snow up there. I don't need to bring a whole lot of water because I can just pop some snow in my mouth and, suck on some snow and I'll be fine. It didn't end up that way. So sorry, guys, I do have a little bit of a cough. It's been lingering for a while, so I apologize for that.
So what would happen when you put snow in your mouth? You just didn't get enough?
I mean, it was cold, the snow was cold, and then you just didn't get very much water, I guess. You just never felt satisfied. I mean, like, I did it a few times, and it just felt like, for whatever reason, it wasn't worth it.
You put, like, a mouthful of snow in your mouth, and then, like, you get three drops, and it's just like, eh.
Yeah, and it takes, like, 2 minutes for it to melt.
Yeah, right.
So it wasn't worth it. But, so yeah, Caleb, we started at 5:30. We put our snowshoes on right away, is that right?
No, we put them on like near the trailhead.
At the trailhead? Yeah. Okay. So we just hiked with our shoes.
Yeah. It was like several miles to the trailhead, just to the trailhead, right?
It was at least two, I would say. Two or
I'm
three.
I'm curious, what was the temperature? How?
It was below freezing for sure.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And that was like when you started hiking.
So I did have a, one of those Camelback bladder things. That's all the water I brought was a Camelback thing. And pretty quickly, my water line that you suck on froze. So. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yes, and it was froze all day. It never thawed. So
So we weren't really drinking from the start.
No, we weren't drinking. So what happened is I had brought an empty one of those Walmart Great Value plastic bottles, like the 17-ounce ones or whatever. And so we would have to try to pour our water into the water bottle from our bladder and then drink from it. And we ran out of water quick. I mean,
instantly.
5 miles in or something. Yeah. And you had trash bags wrapped around your feet, didn't you?
Yeah.
Did you do that right away?
I had no idea, how to... I had, trashy tennis shoes, and I'm sure they had holes in them. So, to try and waterproof them, I wrapped these, trash bags and duct taped them around my feet. And, circulation was also not there. So my feet were frozen all day.
Such a disaster, man. But, yeah, I mean... We ran out of water pretty quick, and that's when things started to go downhill, I think.
Yeah, that was...
And that was where? A mile marker or what?
Below tree line.
Yeah, we were, still in the trees. And I remember thinking, you knew instantly, we were in for a long day.
Oh, man, because before we even hit tree line, I was I don't feel good. Yeah. And, so you got to think. So as we got higher, there was more and more snow. Especially right before tree line, because it would pile up in those trees, and you might have waist deep snow, or who knows? I never, you never really touched the ground.
Well, I did.
But you'd take a couple steps, and you might stay up, and then all of a sudden you'd fall down in the snow, and then you have to dig your way back out, and you're waist deep snow. So
yeah, there's definitely at least four, sometimes 4 or 5 feet of snow.
So how well were the snowshoes working?
I mean, mine were working better than Caleb's because Caleb had smaller shoes.
Yeah, mine were pretty small. So, I think we were both sinking down, maybe a foot.
Yeah.
Probably.
So then, you sink down a foot, then you got to pick up your foot a foot just to start your step.
You're, doubling your elevation.
So you're at least doubling your elevation, which absolutely sucked. And, I think we might have underestimated a little bit how difficult this was going to be.
In terms of timing, what were you thinking? We'll summit in how many hours, and we'll be done in how many hours before you started?
I think our goal was to be back to the car by like 2 p.m. Does that sound right?
Yeah, maybe so.
And we were thinking, might be like, jumping ahead a little, but, well, it took longer than that, didn't it?
We didn't get back to the car at 2 p.m.
No.
Let's just say that. Yeah, so we just kept trekking up, and...
And one of the parts about this was, like, there wasn't really a main trail. It was kind of just, like, you follow the Colorado Trail, actually, for a little while, and then you just hit the ridge and go, like, all the way up. So we weren't really, like... on a trail, basically.
Yeah, and it wasn't it wasn't horrible hiking. It wasn't horribly steep. It's just the amount of snow that was up there, and then being out of water. So we ran out of water about 5 miles in, or maybe a couple hours, like 3 hours in, I would say. Mm. And so then from then on out, we kind of just kept pushing through. And on the way out there, I had talked to Caleb. I had been like, "Hey, man, like, I'm not usually one to say this, but since we've never done winter hiking, like, we may have to consider the fact that we might not actually summit. Like, because if we get up there and we're getting into some tough stuff that we're not expecting, you know, we have to be okay with turning around." But yep. Then when it came down to it, we weren't feeling very good, but we never really talked about turning around. Well, we kind of alluded to it at one point.
Well, is this where you, like, sat down on the rocks or whatever?
Yeah, on that ridge.
Yeah, so, like... this was like a couple miles, maybe like 2 miles after we ran out of everything, basically.
Yes.
Like, we kind of knew we were doomed from the start.
Yeah.
But like, we both sat down, and I think you instantly fell asleep. Like, we sat down, and I, like, felt it in my gut. I'm like, we should not be up here right now. Like, this is bad news.
Wow.
I was kind of nervous because, like, Tim sat down, and he's a strong hiker, and he was not looking good. I knew he didn't feel good because he was staying real quiet. He was just not having fun, I don't think. And you could see, like, what we thought was the peak.
Oh, gosh, dude.
And we're like, you know, it's not too much further. We can try and make it up here.
Oh,
and I was like, this is bad news.
So how far into it were you at this point?
It's hard to say.
Halfway?
I think of this trek more in hours than miles, just because it was hard to know mileage and stuff. Yeah. But, you know, our goal, or my goal anyway, was I think we can get up to the summit by noon and start heading back down.
Yeah.
Well, noon comes and goes pretty quick, and, you know, it seems like we're nowhere really that close.
Yeah, so where, like, what time was it, do you know, like, on the
We
rocks?
Didn't summit.
So
we ended up summiting, and we summited at like sunset, basically, like 5 something in the afternoon, maybe later, 5:15, 5:20. So when we were sitting at the rocks there, it might have been 2:30 or so.
Yeah, probably
in the afternoon. It's already been such a long day. We're still thinking, like, I think we can get to there, but maybe not.
Yeah,
we ended up pushing through, and we got to that point, and then we realized, this isn't even the summit.
Yeah. It was a, like, massive false summit. And you could see, like, when we got up there, there was this, like, massive ridge. It was, like, 180.
Yeah.
It went all the way around. And I was, like, just, like, heart sink.
Yeah,
like,
and that's when we kind of had a little conversation. Like, we didn't really say, hey, should we turn around? But we could see this big horseshoe-shaped ridge that went around to the real summit. And we kind of pulled up Google Maps, and we're like, yeah, okay, that's it over there. And it looked like we had about another mile to get there, which doesn't sound that far. But when you're in snowshoes and you've been out of water for 6 hours.
It looked impossible. Like, I literally was like, yeah, there's no way
so
we're doing this.
You looked at me, and I think your words were, so what are you thinking? And I was like, I think at this point, I think I was feeling worse than you were. And I was like, well, I guess we just keep walking. So my phone was on like 10%. At this point, so, and you didn't have service, so I was like, we're getting into some pretty bad situations. So I actually texted you, Dad.
Yes, I forget what time of day this was, but it was an evening.
Yeah.
And I got a text from Tim, and he says, I forget exactly what you said, but you said, hey, we're still hoping to summit, but if you don't hear from me by morning, you might want to contact somebody. You might want to get a search party going.
Yeah.
And then you said, don't tell mom. Which, of course, I didn't. But, oh, my goodness, I went to bed that night a little worried. And I was praying. And I was like, oh, my goodness. Because I knew you guys were kind of above and above your heads, you know?
Yeah.
And like the thing was like I was struggling to think we could make it to the top, much less like all the way back down. I'm like, there is no way we're getting off this mountain.
Yeah.
I was like, there is no way.
I actually wondered about that because when I was looking at the, like, we could look at that horseshoe shaped ridge and we could see the summit over there. I was like, I think I might be able to make it there.
Right.
Like, I might have enough gas in my tank to get there. I might be able to push through and get there. But then we're only halfway through the hike. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I was like, well, I guess we just keep going and see what happens. So that's why I texted Dad, because I was like, man, we might end up getting stuck up here and it's cold. You know, it's, you know, in the middle of the day, it was like 30 degrees. So,
now looking back, I'm sure you're happy you did this.
You know, 100%,
you have no regrets.
Yeah.
Oh, but was that a stupid decision to keep going?
Yes.
Yes. I mean, I don't know if it was like a wise decision, but I'm glad we did.
I mean, yeah. I'm all about like pushing past your limits and stuff.
Yeah.
But like we were at our limits there, basically.
Yeah. So we ended up going around this horseshoe shaped ridge and getting to the summit just before sunset. And we got some great photos up there, though we were dead.
You should try and put those up on the podcast.
Actually, so the cover photo for this podcast is took a photo of me on the way down. That was right after we had gotten down, still above tree line, but that was about 30 minutes after we summited.
Like on the summit, like when we were summiting, we were basically taking like one step and stopping.
Yes. Like no exaggeration.
Like it took everything in us just to like one more step, one more step.
It sounds dumb and dramatic, but it almost felt like we were on Everest just because we were like so low on energy.
So you said you didn't really talk much openly with each other about, you know, turning around. But just tell me for a minute, within yourself, was there a battle going on in your mind? I mean, how did you decide to keep going? I mean, how tempted were you to turn around?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So for me, I mean, we kind of drove all the way to Colorado to hike a 14er, and you know, I had that goal set in my mind, so unless something like disastrous happened, like we broke a leg or something, I was kind of like, I kind of want to keep pushing, because I just knew myself, like, yeah, we weren't in a great situation, but if we had turned around and I had turned around and walked back to the car and we drove all the way back to Columbia, Missouri, I would have hated myself for that, because it's like we just drove all the way to Colorado, got halfway up a mountain, we were that close, then we turned around, you know. So that was kind of my thought process. Caleb?
That's more or less what I was thinking, but like, I knew it was a bad idea, but I definitely wanted to keep going.
Yeah. And one thing I would mention is I definitely had some altitude sickness too.
Yeah.
I didn't eat anything all day.
Really?
I had half a granola bar. That was it.
Oh my goodness.
The whole entire day. Cause I didn't feel good to my stomach. My head was hurting.
You were dehydrated.
Dehydrated. Yeah. And I was like, I just felt like my stomach was weak, so I wasn't eating anything. So I was low on energy
so
in that
you had
way,
no
too.
No energy at all.
No, I mean, none. I've never been so gassed in my life. I mean, just completely empty.
Yeah.
So on the way down was almost just as bad as, probably worse.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're completely gassed by the time we get up. And then, you know, it's getting dark on us. I did bring a headlight, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And the one nice thing about going down was we could follow our trail. So we didn't have to worry about where we were going so much. We had our foot tracks from the way up, but boy.
What was it, cloudy or clear that day?
It was actually pretty bright with the moon and stuff, I think.
Yeah, I think most of the day was pretty clear.
So you had no problem with visibility?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, which was nice. And there was 0% of avalanche. I mean, there's very little exposure on that route. It was just tough.
How long were you on the summit?
4 minutes.
It was not long.
Yeah.
I mean, we knew we had to get going.
Yeah.
Like,
I think, how scared were you? Were you very scared?
I was nervous.
Yeah, I was definitely nervous.
I wasn't like, holy crap, we're going to die. But I was like, this is not a great situation.
Well, yeah, like, the sun was setting. I was like, the sun's about to drop and we're just going to die here on the mountain.
At the beginning of this podcast, can you just add a little caution? Parents, don't let your children listen to this.
Well, you just said it right there. No, I mean, it was good for us. And, like, it's a nice thing to call back to, like, what we had to go through. And then on the way down, so it was dark, and we're, like, trudging with zero energy. And we had picked up these walking sticks that were basically, like, makeshift trekking poles to help us hopefully not fall through the snow as often. You know, it kind of, you could use your arms a little bit in addition to your legs, which I don't think we could have done it without those sticks, you know.
So how deep were you sinking into the snow?
You know, I mean, sometimes it was 2 inches, sometimes it was 3 feet, you know, it just depended.
So, like, You want to talk about the snowshoe?
Yes, I would love to.
So, like, I think it was right near tree line. Like, we had kind of got off the top, and we had dropped back down into the trees. And I remember falling into, like, this little pile of trees, and I pulled myself back up, and I couldn't feel my feet. My feet were numb.
Yes.
So I just kept on walking, and, like, I literally think I was half, like, insane during this hike, but, like...
Delirious.
Yeah, insanely delirious. But, wow. Like, my left foot kept sinking, like, all the way down. Like, I'd take a step, and then my left foot would go, and I was like, what is happening? I was like, is my shoe untied? So, like, it goes on like this forever, and I'm not even, like, trying to contemplate, like, what's happening. But eventually, like, I reach down to tie my shoes, and my snowshoe's gone. It's, like, not there.
Yeah, so I'm in front of Caleb at this point, and I noticed he was kind of falling behind a little bit, which was weird, because earlier I was feeling worse. And then, you know, all of a sudden I just hear him go, oh no. And I was like, and we're both kind of delirious at this point. It's like 10 p.m. So I'm like, what's going on, man? And he's like, I lost a snowshoe. And I was like, well, just put it back on. He's like, no, no, I have no idea where it is. I was like, what do you mean?
Like, I knew, like, it played back in my head, me falling in that thing. And it was like, 2 miles back, probably. I was like, there's no way.
So then get this. Caleb goes, I'm going to go back and get it.
it was Beck's snowshoe. I didn't want to leave it up there. I felt terrible.
And I said, he turns around and starts walking back up the hill. I'm like, Caleb, what are you doing? And he goes, yeah, you're right. So he turns back around. So we had to go with one snowshoe, and he's just... Every step,
boom, post-holing. Like,
sinking in.
Up to my hip. Every time. And, like, my right leg was so weak. Like, sometimes I'd just lay down on the snow and, like, literally pull my leg out with my hands.
Like, I had to pull it out of the hole. That's so terrible.
And, like, we were looking for every icicle possible. Like,
oh, yeah.
Every icicle we passed, because we were just so low on water.
Yeah, so this was actually a lifesaver. So the snow wasn't doing us any good eating snow. But there was some little, like, 2-inch icicles hanging off the pine trees and stuff when we got back down to tree line. And, oh, my gosh, every time we passed one, we would grab them and stick it in our mouth. And those gave us a little bit more water than the snow did. That was a lifesaver. I mean, my goodness.
It really was.
We'd probably still be up there if it wasn't for those icicles. But, yeah, so at this point, since I have 2 snowshoes, I'm, like, staying ahead of you a little bit, but I'm still completely zoinked, like, so tired.
Yeah.
So I'll walk, like, 30 yards. I'll make it, like, 30 yards, and then I'll lean on my walking sticks, and I'll instantly fall asleep, standing up.
Oh, so, like, I'd, like, catch up to him, and he'd start right away, and he'd, like, double my distance, yeah. And, like, you know, super fast. And so he'd just stop, put his hands on his stick, and put his head down, and instantly fall asleep.
I mean, I'm talking less than 5 seconds, I would be asleep.
Like, instantly.
Standing up.
And I remember nodding off, like, when I was walking. Like,
yeah.
I'd be walking, and I'd, like, catch myself waking up, you know?
I think we might have both fallen asleep at the same time, which is kind of dangerous.
And that's what scared me, because, like, we'd stop and sit down, and we both fall asleep. I'm like, we're never going to wake up.
Yeah,
I was like, this is it.
Wow. And who knows how cold it was at that point. It was probably 20 degrees.
Yeah.
Which, you know, we were dressed, you know, we had, like, hoodies on and long pants, so we were dressed fairly warm. We weren't that cold, but my feet were packed with snow the whole entire time we were walking. In fact, when we finally got back, I was almost worried about, like, frost damage, you know, to my feet, because I had this big blister, and it was, like, a really weird-looking blister, and I was like, I've never seen something like that before, so I kind of did some research. I was like, what could this be? But I think it was just a blister.
So I'd, like, walk up to Tim sleeping, and I'd give him, like, you know, a minute of sleep, and then I'd wake him up. I'm like, Tim, we got to keep going.
He really would. I'd be sleeping, waiting for him to catch up, and he'd come and he'd be like, all right, man, I'm ready. Oh, so miserable.
And
man,
I remember thinking, like, the way back was so, like, it just kept going.
Yeah.
Like, when we were in the tree line, it seemed, I was like, this has to be it. Like, it can't be much further than this to get back on the trail or whatever. And it just kept going. Like, it was endless.
Yeah, because it was sectioned off. Like, there, you know, we went down the ridge, and then we went down the Colorado Trail, and then that went to the road. So there's kind of 3 sections in your mind, you know? Mm. And once we got to tree line, we're like, okay, we're getting there. But then it just felt like hours and hours and hours.
It was hours and hours.
Yeah, I mean, so ultimately, we ended up getting back to the car somehow, and boy, You remember when we saw the car, dude? I could have cried,
dude. I thought I was hallucinating.
I could have cried, man.
Oh, I could have cried so many times on that hike. I'm not even kidding. That was the most mentally and physically drained I've ever been. Like, nothing even compares to it.
Gross. Yeah, and, like, all I was thinking about the whole entire time was I just want to get back to the car. I want to sit down, get my socks off, and just sleep and get some water. Water sounded so good.
Yeah.
And so when we saw the car, I was like, oh, my gosh. This is the best moment of my life.
You wanted to run, but, you know.
Yeah, I tried and I fell over. Oh, yeah.
So what time did you get back to the car?
About midnight.
Oh, so it took us, like, what was it, 20 hours or something?
19 and a half yeah. hours or yeah. something crazy, I mean, of hiking.
And, like, estimated mileage was around the same thing, 20
yeah,
miles.
20, yeah, 21
so
miles.
So we were, like,
yeah.
barely moving, like, maybe a mile an hour.
Which is crazy, yeah.
So slow.
So you did crash in the car then?
When oh,
you
yeah. got back? Well, the problem was my phone was dead at that point. Mm-hmm. And I knew I had told you, I think I had told you 8 a.m. If you don't hear from us by 8 a.m., you need to call somebody because we're kind of in a situation here. So I wanted to just get some water and go to sleep so bad. But I was like, gosh, I got to get my phone going. I got to text Dad because, you know, he needs to know. So I sure enough charged my phone. I had to wait about 5 minutes for it to come on. So then I texted him. I was like, hey, we made it. And then I just crashed after that, man. What were you doing? You were, like, fiddling around with, like, your layers or something? Or?
Well, the stupid trash bags.
Oh.
Like, snow hits the duct tape had come loose. And, like, snow was piling in my shoes. I was just trying to, like, make sure my feet were still there.
Oh, man. Everybody who's listening to this is probably like, these scrubs. What are these guys doing? But it was a learning experience. And actually, Caleb just texted me last week. It was like, hey, you want to do it again? So we might go again, but if we do, I'm going to bring more water anyway.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how long do you think you slept in the car before moving on?
We actually woke up fairly early. Seven,
yeah,
maybe?
Yeah, 7 or 8, yeah.
Well, you slept a good several hours.
Yeah.
It was good.
And then when you woke up the next morning, how did you feel?
A lot better than I did the night before, that's for sure. I mean...
Well, your altitude sickness wore off, I guess.
Yeah, because we're at lower altitude. We're at 8,000 feet. And we drank some water and we got some sleep.
Did you eat anything before you fell asleep or no?
No.
I think I pounded a bunch of granola bars and stuff.
Yeah, I still wasn't feeling good.
Caleb, you ate along the way, yes?
I did, yeah.
Yeah.
What were you eating?
Fruit snacks and granola bars.
So then when you finally left where you had parked the car, where did you head to?
Home.
Yeah.
Did you stop at a restaurant or anything?
No.
Maybe McDonald's drive-thru. Really?
Oh, yeah, definitely really? McDonald's. But
yeah. We always go to McDonald's.
But yeah. Wow. Yeah, just booked it home.
Yeah. Because at that point, it was Sunday, and, you know, we both needed to work on Monday. Oh, dude.
You'll definitely have to post these pictures.
Oh, too. Man. I wish I could. I don't think I can post photos to the notes. But so Caleb is driving home on I-70, and this is the next morning, you know, Sunday, a few hours into the drive. And I keep feeling this moisture on my face, and I keep wiping it off, and then it comes back. And, you know, some of our socks and clothes are wet, so I'm like, this is kind of weird. But I'm, like, looking at the ceiling of the car, like, how am I getting wet? And then we stop at a gas station about 30 minutes later, and I walk into the bathroom to pee, and, you know, there's a mirror. I about jumped out of my skin when I saw myself. I was so sunburned. Oh, yeah. That my face was blistering. So I would wipe the blister on my face and then, you know, it would just ooze pus. And I didn't know I was that sunburned until that gas station. Caleb didn't tell me.
I had just accepted the fact that he looked like that. I didn't even know.
I mean, my face was bright red. And so that week at work, you know, I went back to work and the guys at work, and like my eyeballs sunburned too. They were like bloodshot.
Yeah, both our eyes were like stinging.
Yeah.
Like the sun off the snow was like way too bright.
Yeah,
like,
the sun on the snow.
My eyes were swollen and stinging for
and
like
Tim texted
days.
Me two photos of his face. he just looked like a deranged drug addict. he looked so out of it. I sent one to my cousin Dave and he said, oh my goodness. It was just almost comical. You looked so terrible.
It just added to the like the whole experience.
Just the story of it.
Yeah, because in the next couple weeks, my, you know, the face being in various you know, stages of decomposition. So, yeah, so that week at work, you know, a few days later, my face obviously started to peel because it was so bad. So my face is like sloughing off, you know, the skin is just sloughing off of my face. My lips are chapped. My eyes are red. And like I have, you know, I was working in, you know, a service like landscaping. And so I'd be talking with our customers, you know, so these guys who have like multi-million dollar homes, and I'm like trying to talk about their landscape design and trying to be professional. You know? And I'm like, who am I kidding? These guys probably think I'm, they probably think I'm dressed up for Halloween or something. Oh, it's so funny, man.
Caleb, did you not get sunburned?
No, I definitely did. Not as bad as Tim.
You didn't even peel, though, did you?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, you did peel. Later. Okay. Yeah, you didn't get quite as bad as my face.
No.
But you were sunburned.
How was the drive back home? Uneventful?
It was pretty uneventful. Okay. I think we were kind of tired, so we just kind of zipped on through.
So, okay, let's talk about this. I'm curious. The aftermath. Okay, so when you did the 50-mile hike, you were pretty sore for a couple days, yes? So the aftermath of your Mount Columbia experience, did you recover more quickly?
So I would say my legs were more sore after the 50-mile thing.
Yeah.
But I just felt more physically drained.
Just overall.
Overall, yeah. And mentally drained, for that matter, after this Mount Columbia hike. Mm-hmm. What would you say, Caleb?
Yeah, like the 50 miles was definitely like harder on your muscles and joints. Yes. Because we were moving so slow, like... Yes, it was strenuous, but it wasn't, like, impact stuff, so...
Yeah.
But, yeah, it would... probably still not fully recovered from that hike, but...
So, yeah, one of the worst parts about it is, you know, I know a lot of people, and they know that I like to go to Colorado and hike, so people will run into me places, and they'll be like, hey, have you, you know, done any hiking the past year or so? And I was like, yeah, I actually went out and did Mount Columbia, and you know, I'd be like, it was pretty brutal. And they were like, oh, yeah, I've done Mount Columbia. It is hard. And I'd just shake my head like, you don't understand. Because doing it in the snow, I think, is just, I guess, a whole nother ballgame. Now, anytime I see somebody on social media posting about doing a 14er in the snow, I'm just like, man, props to you.
Well, guys, I'll say I respect you for the accomplishment. Just for the guts and the fortitude and the perseverance to keep going. I honestly don't know how you did that. Now, whether it was a good decision to keep going, whether it was foolish, I won't comment on that. But, boy, just, I don't know how you guys did that. How did you keep pushing?
I guess our lives were at stake.
Yeah. That was on the way down. But what about the way up?
I mean, I guess just sheer will.
Yeah, I guess, you know.
Well, and again, props to you guys for having that willpower. Not everybody has that.
Yeah, actually, when we got back to the car that night, or maybe it was the next morning, but we were in the car at the parking spot, and I told Caleb, Caleb's at this time, and even now, is in better physical shape than me. He could outrun me, and he could out-hike me. But I told him, I was like, man, I'm actually really proud of you, because up to that point, we had done some pretty big days, but we hadn't done anything that physically, or mentally, I mean, challenging. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I know that physically you're stronger than me right now, but I don't know a lot of people that are that mentally tough that can push through that without just falling apart, you know?
Well, my guess is when you guys are 85 years old, you're going to still have this memory in your mind of what a grueling experience that was.
Oh, yeah.
And it'll be probably a fond memory. Looking back, I'm sure you have...
It's like my favorite thing to talk about.
Oh, me too.
It's like so much fun. Yeah.
I love laughing about it with Caleb.
So do you think you'll ever... feel that sick fatigue and just total exhaustion again like you did that day?
I kind of hope not.
I don't know. I have no idea.
I know you guys enjoy pushing yourselves, you know?
Yeah.
It was just a different type of tire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
well, and, you know, like you said, layers of altitude sickness, dehydration, da-da-da-da. Probably you didn't sleep much before.
No, yeah. Yeah, that's true. I think we had a lot going against us, and that's probably why we felt so bad. But hey, let me get into the homework for this week. I hadn't really thought, well, I know one of them. I don't know the podcast related one. You know, usually I try to do one that's like promoting the podcast in some way. Let's see, maybe just, I think I've done this one before, but just share this episode with a friend who you think might enjoy it. So that's your first, what do you call it? It's optional homework assignment. Share this podcast with a friend. And then this one is a little bit unique. I haven't done one like this before. But, you know, last year we did this 50-mile challenge, and I kind of opened it up to the Willis family. Well, this coming year, 2023, in early May, I think, time frame. We're actually going to do another challenge. This one's a little bit more attainable, I think. We're going to be biking the Katy Trail in 48 hours. So we already have a decent sized group that is kind of, mm-hmm. you know, at least 98% committed. Mm-hmm. I'm doing it. Caleb's doing it. Dad, you're doing it. Mm-hmm. And we got a couple others who are also thinking about doing it. But I'm extending the invitation. This is something that sounds interesting to you. This is your second homework. Reach out to me. I'll get you the details. Maybe I'll post it on the Willis family group too. But if you're not a Willis and you're like, hey, this sounds fun, this is something that's a little bit more attainable. So it's about 240 miles. Yep. Right?
On level Katy Trail.
It's pretty level. Not a lot of hills. Caleb, you've done the Katy Trail before.
Uh-huh.
You did it in 3 days though.
Oh, yeah.
So this would be in 2 days, a little bit faster.
Yep.
So it'll be a lot of biking and your butt probably be sore, but I think it's a little bit more attainable than the last one probably. Yeah, what do you think, Dad?
Oh, yeah. Do they know how to contact you if they need to, Tim?
I mean, most of these guys are either friends or family, mm-hmm. I think, that listen to this. So if you don't, they know somebody who does.
We'll drop his social security number in the...
Yeah.
And a credit card number.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll give you my personal assistance email.
Well, guys, again, good job on Mount Columbia. Yeah. You guys should be proud.
Yeah,
appreciate it. Proud of the accomplishment.
Yeah. Man, I've been looking forward to this podcast for a while, so thanks, guys.
Yep.
All right, we'll catch you on the next one.